We just want to welcome you to the house of the Lord this evening. Let's speed it up just a little bit. Same key there, brother. Let's sing that song just a little while to stay here. So just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Oh, just a little while to labor in the path that's all. Just a little more of troubles in this low and sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven portals through the pearly gates. Soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage will end. Just a little while to stay here, and just a little while to wait. Service. I'm going to forego prayer requests as Brother Barry has asked that I do that, and he's going to bring all of those prayer requests to you this evening. Let's keep it in the same key there, and we'll just slow it down, and I'll ask the ushers if you'll go ahead and come forward, and we'll take up our tithes and offering, and change the order up a bit. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace.
Chris, if you would come and just pray with the tithes and offering over the service.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful once again to be able to come to your house tonight. Lord, we thank you for a place of worship and a place to come and to hear your word, to hear the truth of the hour. Father, as we're here in your presence, we just ask you to be with this part of our worship. Lord, be with the offering, the gift, and the giver. Be with the intended purpose, Father. Lord, come down and walk the aisles with us tonight. Just bring your presence down with us. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name.
Just sing it as they pass by, and you may have your seats.
He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. Broken down.
I'll see the light of
because he lives.
Just stand and sing it again.
Now because he lives, oh, I can face tomorrow. Oh, it's because that all my fears are gone, because I know, yes, I know he holds my future. Oh, that life is worth the living, just because he lives.
Sing it one more time as Brother Barry comes.
Oh, because he lives, oh, I can face tomorrow. Every moment of every day, yielded completely to Jesus alone. Every step of this pilgrim to be clay in the potter's hand, ready to do what his word
is. Thank you. Only to be what he wants me to be. Every let's pray this evening, and we have many requests. We're going to come to them in just a moment here, but on the road right here, as we speak, somebody was just hit on a motorcycle, and they've called 911 and so forth. They're attending to him. Sister Crystal's out there, and so we just want to mention that in prayer tonight as well. Also, I remember reading when one of the presidents, John Kennedy, was shot and assassinated. And the country was in shock when that happened. Brother Branham was in service. Somebody told him about it, and they bowed their heads and prayed and just asked for mercy to be extended to that family, President Kennedy's family. And today, some of you may have heard that Charlie Kirk, the Christian person, he was shot and killed today and in Utah at an event that he was holding. So we just want to pray. He's got two small children and a wife, and we sure want to just remember that prayer. Just a shock. And, you know, it's indicative. I think it was Aaron Agamaza wrote me and said, use the scripture that the earth is filled with violence, and that's truly, truly indicative of the times that we live in. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can turn to you in all of our burdens, all of our cares, and all of our things that we go through, Lord, in this life, every distress, every form of anguish. And Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that we have you to turn to. And Lord, as in speaking to people today, Lord, there's many that in the world that they have a doctor to lean on, or maybe some counselor or something else. And we're no different, Lord. We thank you for the medical people that you put in our pathway and the resources that are available to us. But for a believer, he always has something greater, always has something higher. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you hear our prayer and you attend to the cry of the heart of your children. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, now we commit these needs into your hands tonight, and we want to hold them up before you in prayer. And Lord, this person on the motorcycle in the accident, we just commit them to you. Pray that you would have mercy, Lord. We don't know anything about him. We don't know this person, but it happened right on our doorstep. And so, Lord, we're asking and praying that you would extend mercy to that person. And Lord, for the family of Charlie Kirk, and Lord, just a person just trying to do what he can to make things better, and to be so horribly killed in a violent attack, Lord. And I just ask and pray that you would somehow, Lord, just be gracious to his wife and children and all those that labor with him. We commit them into your hands, Lord. May you just have mercy on this situation. Father, we're so thankful we have a place of rest and a place of safety that we can rest in. And I ask now that you would just have mercy upon your people tonight as we gather here in service. And we just desire, Lord, to hear from you. Have your way in the wonderful and lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Well, while you're standing tonight, thank you, musicians. Let's go to Joshua, the 22nd chapter there tonight. And I want to read just a couple of verses tonight. We welcome all of you. Appreciate you all being here tonight. I know it's Wednesday night. I know there's lots of demands in the middle of the week. But it just did my heart good to come out of my office tonight and see people parking on the grass out there. And that's a good thing. Whenever people are parking on the grass, that's a good thing. And on a Wednesday night especially. And so we appreciate you all taking the time to be here tonight. And we're going to speak just a little bit. And then I've got quite an extensive list of special prayer requests. And some of them are serious. And then we'll just take the last part of our service and just have a word of prayer together. And as we have done in the past. And I think that'll be good. Joshua chapter 2. How many have it? Say amen. Amen. Now therefore I pray you. Verse 10. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me, this is Rahab, by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated tonight. Now, I want to say, first of all, that I appreciated the expressions of concern on behalf of my brother Mark, and got to spend a couple of days with him. That was nice, and he's doing better. He told me he's feeling better than he has in almost a year, and so we're thankful for that. And he's got limitations. You know, he's pushing 70. And he's got limitations, and he's starting to realize that. And when he had the spell that he had, he was hauling concrete. And I just looked at him and said, really? And because concrete will bring down a good man. And but that's what he was doing. So we appreciate your prayers for him. And if you don't mind, keep it up. And it was nice to be there. It was nice to meet with the saints. I got to minister to them on Sunday morning, and then it was nice to have the reunion. That was the first time in 51 years that I had seen some of those people, and it was actually pretty nice. I have cousins that are 81 years old, and wow, I was right. Whoever said that.
And it was really nice to see them. Two of my cousins who were in their 80s taught me in school, grade 3 and grade 4. And it was really nice to see them and be able to talk with them. But more importantly, and, you know, I just did my testimony a couple of weeks ago. When we came in the message, my entire family tree cut us off. The limb was cut off. And so the last time I saw many of those people, we were shunned, kicked out. We were ostracized. We were like Amish that left the community. And for us to be able to go back and to be able to fellowship with them, and, you know, they've seen, hey, you know, your family's turned out well. And, I showed them pictures, and they were impressed with that. And it was just really nice to reconnect with them again. And over time, you know, God softens hearts. And so we went to see them and meet them and also to be a witness to them. And, you know, that was really nice to be able to have a few hours with those folks there. So really nice. Now, we have our meetings this weekend, and the meetings are for everybody. Say everybody.
Everybody.
Okay. Here's what you need to know. Friday, 6 p.m. for our young people. We're going to do a casual get-together here. Saturday, 10:30 is our get-together for young people. We're going to do that at the gym. Now, what you need to know is that for the rest of the church, 6:30 p.m. is service Saturday night. 6:30 p.m. Say 6:30.
6:30.
And then Sunday is just 11 and 5. Okay? We're going to have a snack after the evening service, kind of like the old days. And we're going to have a snack. Having snacks and dinners has gotten to be a bigger deal. And so we appreciate Peter and Rachel and their team, and Jeremy and Julia, and Jesse and David, and Lucas and Haley, and all their helpers. We appreciate them jumping in and spreading out the duties and so forth and getting everything ready for the weekend. So we want you to be praying for those meetings, and we want you to come and participate and be a part of things here. And I will add one piece, and that is we are not going to do Sunday school Sunday morning because we have enough things happening on this Sunday only. We're not going to have Sunday school, okay? So we would ask you just to keep those things in mind. Now, the last thing I want to say before we begin here is that this is Jonah Lovell. And your dad is Josh?
Yeah.
Ooh, I think you can still make it, though. Good to have you here on the weekend. You say hello to your father for me. And glad to have all of you here tonight, as we say. And let's just wade into this tonight. And this is a little more than probably a Wednesday night study here, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the bigger picture. And it'll make a little bit more sense as we go along. That's a pressure gauge that's on the left there. And we want to talk a little bit about having what is needed to follow God through the transition period and make it across on the other side. And it's really important that we have what we need because there is no turning back. Once we come to a point like this, there's no turning back. So there's a lot of things that are taking place in the world, a lot of things that are escalating, and a lot of things that are going on, and they may not seem connected, but I will tell you that God knows exactly how all those pieces fit together. And I think, and in just saying this seriously to you and just speaking from my heart, I think it's really important for us to make sure that we are on the same page with Him. Amen. And that requires a kind of discipline that maybe we have not experienced before. It's important for us to realize that it's a powerful thing when you're walking in harmony with the Holy Spirit, and it's really important for us to pay attention to that and make that our daily goal. Now, I'll just add a little bit more detail here, but let me just get in. I just wanted to give you a couple of statements here at the beginning. And in the message, "Believest thou this?" Peter's referring here in the day of Pentecost. He said, he quotes in Acts 2, "It's for you and your children, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And every person that enters into the baptism of the Holy Spirit can have the same kind of Holy Ghost that they got on the day of Pentecost." Amen. That's quite a statement there. Because he's saying that the experience is no different. The expression of God is no different. The fruits of the Spirit would be no different. And the evidence of the Holy Spirit would also be no different. Right? So it's the same baptism of the Holy Spirit that they had through the ages, from the day of Pentecost right till now. He said that every person that enters in that can have that same kind of experience. Not something that looked like it, but the real thing. Everybody say the real thing. We want to have the real thing. We want to strive to have the real thing. The real Holy Ghost brings forth the same kind of an evidence and a proof that they had back there, because it comes with the same Holy Ghost. I added the word because. The Holy Ghost brings forth the same kind of evidence and proof that they had back there, comes with the same Holy Ghost. So it's not going to be something outside of Scripture. And that's comforting, right? We don't have to wonder, well, you know, what is it like? The people back there, when the Holy Ghost came and ministered to them and showed up, he moved into earthly tabernacles. He moved into his earthly house for the next 2,000 years on the day of Pentecost, right? In the upper room, the Holy Ghost moved into earthly tabernacles. He was bottled and confined in one which was Christ. All God was, he poured into Christ. But then all that was in Christ, he poured into the church. The day of Pentecost was a little more dramatic because they had tongues of fire over their head. And it was a symbol to them. It was an outward symbol here that God was moving residences and he was moving into the body. Right? And so they had a visible sign of that. But outside of that, the experience that they had really was not dissimilar to what you can have today, which would bring forth the same kind of fruits and the same kind of evidences and the same kind of joy and the same kind of peace and the same kind of victory and the same kind of overcoming power, the same kind of keeping power and holding power that they had back there. No different. Amen. And that's what he's telling us. And so it's really important that that we are settled in this, and that we have the real thing. Now, you know, like people will still assign evidences, and I don't know why, but people still want to assign different types of evidences to a true new birth. But Brother Branham said, when a person's born again, the evidence is that they will agree with the word of their day. They'll believe the word of their day. Now, some people are really expressive, some people are really emotional, some people are not so emotional, and that to me was never in the list of criteria as to what you need to measure yourself by to see whether you really got it. Right. If you really got it, you're going to walk in the Word in the light of this day, believe the Word that God sent. That's the evidence, and I don't know any other. Show us the Father, and it suffice. 1950. Now, the way to raise a crop is to get the ground ready. Then any divine promise of God is a seed. And Brother Branham talks about the farming process. So the way to raise a crop is the first to get the ground ready. You got to break up the ground. You got to till it and loosen it. I will tell you this, that even though I'm not really a farmer, and I'm not at all, back when I lived in Ohio, I had a tractor. And I had a tractor, a Ford 8N, classic. And I would go down to the road with my tractor, and I would borrow my neighbor's disc. And it was a big, wide disc. And I'd take that disc and bring it up the road, and I'd disc our garden. Now, we had a big garden, because we had 3.5 acres, and we had a big garden. And I'll tell you what, you talk about therapy. I mean, it was so nice to hear that, the sound of the soil running up, you know. So you got to get the ground ready first. And any divine promise of God is a seed. Any divine promise of God is a seed. And that seed in the right ground will produce of its kind. If it's placed in the ground and there watered with faith, prayer, and trust, God will bring it to pass. He said, I'm saying that with experience. If that seed is in the right ground, it'll produce its kind. If it's placed in the ground and there watered with faith, prayer, and trust, God will bring it to pass. Now, let me just say this about this idea of faith, prayer, and trust. Just for a moment here, just as an aside. I think it's important for us to recognize that these three words are not dissimilar. They're not far off in their meaning or application to us. Now, we know that faith is a revelation, right? It's the evidence of things hoped for and so forth. And it's a faith is a revelation, and when somebody has real true faith, it's something exclusive that God reveals to somebody, and they've got an assurance that something's going to take place. But you know, having trust in God and praying to God are very similar to having faith, because we rely on who it is that makes the promise. You know, I would say, and we'd almost be all guilty, and not in a bad way, but we'd all be guilty of using these words interchangeably. I believe, and I trust that, when I put today I had an envelope and I put a stamp on it and I slid it in that box in the post office, and I trust the post office. I trust the post office to get that there. I have faith in them to get it done. And that's not a dissimilar concept, is it? And we could say, you know, when it comes to something that we would pray for, then it would be something that we would pray over it because we trust in the one who we're praying to. And the whole point of if I come to God in prayer and I trust Him, it's much easier for me to have faith in Him. Right? Those when I thought about those words, it's not dissimilar. You know, you can go to the bank manager if you want to get a mortgage. You can go to the bank manager and you can look at him and just say all you want. You can just walk into his office and say, "Look, just trust me. Give me a loan. Just trust me." And the bank manager is probably going to look at you and say, man, we need a little bit of collateral here to show that you can support the mortgage here. Because we as a people, we are used to having something that faith is based on. And Brother Bram said faith has to have an anchor. And trust has to have an anchor as well. And so if you've got a sickness or you've got a problem, you've got a disease or something, we have a promise that we can go back to. We have a word of prophecy. We have a word that's given to us that if it's a sickness, that by His stripes we are healed. And so it's not just, God just doesn't say, trust me. He's proved Himself over and over again. Has He not proved Himself among us in our assembly here? Not a great big number, not a huge amount of people, but I'm thankful that God has proven Himself to be alive and to be as supernatural and as powerful as He ever has been among us here. I'm thankful for that. And the miracles and the different things that God has done. So Brother Branham's simply telling us here that you want to take the seed of the promise of God, put it in the ground, water it with faith, prayer, and trust, and God will bring it to pass. He said, I'm saying that with experience. That is really true. And faith and obedience, they complement one another and they support one another because of who they speak about. Amen. Now, I say that, and this is very simple, but I say that because we know that in the last day there's conflict. Brother Branham says it like this, I'll come back to that. But he says there's two spirits, and one of them is God's Holy Spirit, and the other one is the devil's spirit, and they're working in deception. And the people of the earth now are making their choice. And those spirits are trying to push people into one place or another. The Holy Spirit's here calling for a bride, and He's doing it by vindicating His word, but Satan's also doing it his way and pulling people away from the presence of God, right? We don't need any convincing of that. Paul tells us, and we find this stated very robustly in 2 Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come, or dangerous times. Times of great stress and trouble. How many can say amen? And so here's Paul looking 2,000 years up the road. He's looking at the day we're living in as if the day they were living in was not stressful. They were starting a church with no basis at all. I mean, they had no established church to go to. Like, where do we go? Where do we begin? Where do we start? And they had no physical structure. They had no places. They were not welcome in synagogues. They were not welcome in the temples like in Athens. They were not welcome in those places. And they, they essentially started with nothing, but they had a revelation. And they had opposition to their way of worship. It was called heresy. They had opposition to their gathering. And in the last days, he said, dangerous times, perilous times will come, difficult days that are hard to bear. Not impossible, but hard to bear. For people will be lovers of themselves, narcissistic. Have you ever listened to somebody and they'll say, oh, I just got a doctor's report and I need to have a spinal surgery. And somebody says, yeah, I had a real crook in my back as well. Because the only thing you're thinking about is their problem. And they kind of don't have the means to enter into what somebody else is going through. A Christian tends to be sympathetic towards what somebody else is going through. And that's really important. And he says they would be lovers of money, they would be boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful and unholy, and they will be unloving. So therefore there would be no or less human affection, they would become calloused. Like I told you before, there was a trial up in Ohio years ago where there was a boy. Back then they had phone booths, and there was a boy in the phone booth using the phone, and somebody came up behind him. It was three young people came up behind him and shot him in the back with a gun to take the sneakers off that boy who was in the phone booth. And those were coveted sneakers, and took the sneakers and off the boy who was dead and walked down the street. The police eventually caught him. That guy walked into the courtroom with those same sneakers on. Because people have become so calloused that they lack human affection for other people. And irreconcilable, malicious gossips, devoid of self-control, immoral, brutal, haters of good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is the Amplified Version, if you haven't figured that out. And holding to a form of outward godliness, although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. So they have a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. So it doesn't matter that what you say, it's much more important what you're doing. Avoid such people and keep far away from them. So let's add to this now, very briefly, whatever your ministry is, he said, may God crown your life with the glory of his word in his second coming rapture. In his second coming, rapture you and take you away into another land. He said, see, you couldn't go up there with this kind of a body. Neither can you go up there like those astronauts. You have to be in a pressurized tank. You have to be in a pressurized tank. I've watched the documentaries where the astronauts who train for space, outer space, they'll get in water. They'll get in deep pools, in swimming pools and so forth. And they'll train because of the kinds of pressure that's there. Brother Branham is telling us that in this whole second coming rapture phrase, that's what he's referring to here. And this rapture, when this takes place, he said, the people who leave are going to be pressurized. And how we become pressurized is living in a world that's like this, right? Where all of this, Paul says, in the last day, and all of this is going on around you, and it doesn't matter what politician's in place, it doesn't matter how often they bring in the National Guard or whatever else, this is the world we live in. Reckless, violent, senseless, narcissistic, uncaring, calloused, right? That's the kind of world that we live in that's all around us here. And Brother Branham is saying that when we come into this cycle, he said, God's going to use all that to pressurize you and cause you to be ready to go into another space. And he said, when God changes you, you're pressurized then. You're going in the rapture. So there are local events. There are things that take place in your own life. There are things that take place between your two ears. There are things that take place in families. And there are things that take place in nations. There are things that take place in the cosmos around us where pressure is a constant. Right? Pressure is a constant. And look around the room. I could look around and look at almost every family and say that most of my conversations with people, I was telling somebody just before service, that most of my conversations with people include this statement that nothing is easy anymore. Nothing's easy anymore.
Right.
When you think about it, like, you know, I was thinking of Brother Ted getting a job, and the job is 3 hours away, I think, you know, somewhere there. Brother Wellington going through what he's going through, and wherever, I know Brother Wellington's here somewhere. There he is. And going through what he's going through. And, you know, I could go around the room here, and no matter what the situation is, decisions that families are having to make, and different things that are taking place, it used to be segmented. I mean, young people had things to deal with that young people deal with, and middle-aged couples dealt with things, and then older people dealt with certain things. And it used to be segmented or divided up. Not so anymore. Now you find young people with real adult problems. And you find older people that are dealing with situations that should be long past, and they're not. They're still there. It's just amazing. There are financial pressures, and I don't need to remind you of the kind of financial stress that we feel in our world now. And it's just kind of arrived. It's just kind of crept up on us, and here we are. And everything we purchase, everything we try to do, is just we find it more expensive, and we face that financial pressure. We face in an economy, because of the financial pressure, we face job uncertainty. And nobody likes to talk about job uncertainty, but it is a pressure that we face. Now remember, Brother Bram saying that there's going to be pressure in the last days, because the pressure is going to prepare you for another place. For older people, we have health issues that come when we're older. Not old, but older. Older people need to think about finishing well. Older people need to think about what it means to retire and what it means to move and be in the right place, because movements become harder the older you get. I'd like to say also that there is a pressure when it comes to spiritual decisions now, because there are spiritual forces that are out there to try to steal your peace and your joy. And you don't want to let Satan steal your joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
And to steal your wonder, and to steal your excitement about the things of God, and to steal your passion about serving God. And Satan will do everything he possibly can to try to steal your passion. And very often, like I say, we're struggling with things out of season. We're struggling with things that just don't seem to fit in our time of life. Like when you listen to young people and they'll talk about problems that they're going through, or people going through situations with marriage that should be much later on in life, and they're having to deal with them at such a young age. It's a difficult thing, and it's a very stressful thing for a lot of people. Let me tell you, as I said to you before, you got to remember, God does not lead us in the battles that we're not prepared to face. God knows exactly what you're heading into, and God knows exactly what those answers are. And I will also say this, that I don't believe that we are meant to face those struggles alone. Now, some people are private, and they like to keep the details to themselves, and that's, I understand that. But I will tell you this, I think there's a strength in praying together.
Amen.
Over situation. I'm glad I can come and bring a petition to you folks. And I tell people all the time, I have people from around the country who will come, and they want to have marriage advice, or they want to visit, or they want to talk about things and so on. And I often ask them, and when some of you have submitted prayer requests to me, I'll often ask, you know, is it okay to share this? Because I have confidence in the people I'm sharing it with. That's you. I have confidence that in sharing this with the people in our church, that they will pray. I think another pressure that we face as parents and grandparents and ministers, I think One of the key pressures that we face is trying to raise a family in a very ungodly world. And probably the majority of people are in that time of life, and there's a pressure to raise perfect kids and trying to grab the latest formula that's out there, or somebody wrote a book about, so that we can produce perfect kids. And I think it's important to ask God for the grace that gives you the view of the bigger picture of what you're trying to do here. Because it really is a profound thing that God would invite you into the process of shaping a human life. Because you don't know how long you will have that person with you. And the enemy of that whole process is when parents feel like they own their children. The sooner you get over the fact that you don't own your children, the better off you are. Now all the kids are looking at me saying, is he for real? Whoa, this is really good. Keep going, Brother Barry. Amen. I see the amens written across their face. They're not saying a thing, but they're nodding their heads here and smiling. I got their attention. I realized a while back that I don't own my children. But it is really important that God would give me the ambassadorship. He would give me the responsibility, and he would give me the tools and put them in my hands to help form how a human being actually thinks and reacts and has the skills to be able to navigate through life. Because if we are just in our parenting, if we are just trying to modify behavior, we've missed the point. We've missed the bigger picture. God has given you children to influence them towards the kingdom, and that's the most important thing. Now, yeah, we got to deal with behavior, and we got to deal with consequences of bad behavior and so forth, but that's not the main thing. And when we get our eye stuck on that, and we get our eye only on that, we very often can miss the point, and we can spend endless energy on a conveyor belt, which really doesn't do anything for our children long term. I need to flesh this out. I need to talk more about this. Because, as I say, when we are thinking about this is what I need to do for my children and this is what I expect from my children, when we stay on that level, we're missing what God has in mind for that child. And we're trying to train our children to behave in a certain way and get something from them and focused on what we want our children to be. I think it's important for us to stand back and look at the bigger picture, kind of get in the helicopter and go above that, get in the drone and get above that, and say, what's the point of this whole thing here? Lord, let me handle this in a way that pleases you. I will tell you this, that very often people say to me, I'm at this point with my child, they're 12, they're 14, they're 16 years old, I need a fix, give me a fix. And they're looking for something that helps to modify the behavior right where they are. And I will tell you, and this is why I focus on this, and I don't want to wear out my welcome here and focus on it too much, but I will tell you that it doesn't start when they're 16. It's got to start when they're way younger than that. And developing a relationship and developing a respect for the Word of God and developing a respect for the right things and to be able to listen on command and do all the other things that children need to do. Because Psalm 127 says, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And you know, you parents might be looking at me and saying, yeah, right, sounds good. Sounds good on paper. But I will tell you this. In Matthew 6:33, as we have mentioned before, and it has become a theme of mine, that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you have need of will be added unto you. So in other words, he's telling us that you can go ahead and have faith in the Creator, because if he truly is the Creator, he's also the sustainer of that creation. He's the only one that can be the sustainer of that creation. And he is that. And so therefore, there's not anything that you can throw at God that God can't handle, because he's already committed to the creation of life. He's also able to handle the continuation of life. You're not going to surprise God by telling him what things now exist in our family here that we're dealing with. Hey, God's got a solution for that as well, because he is a sustainer. God doesn't want you to ground to a halt when your children are 10 and throw up your hands and say, I don't know what to do. You're on your own, kids. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to leave and go to Ireland, and you're on your own. God doesn't want you to do that. There has to be a solution. But very often we're kind of locked into our own way of looking at this, and God wants us to be able to look at it his way. I don't know how I got over here, except to say that that's one of the pressures that we face today, because we're having to raise kids in a very ungodly world. And the pressure to have our kids turn out right, and the way we feel about that, which is normal and natural, I think is a powerful thing in our lives. And we need to realize, okay, I'm not alone in this, and God's got answers, God's got solutions, God's got resources. And again, when God provides resources within our reach and we don't utilize them, you know what? God can say, but I put them right there for you. So Brother Branham says, now we find that in these hours of real stress, that's usually when the Holy Spirit moves in. And he let the Hebrew children walk right into that fiery furnace before he ever moved a hand. But when he moves, he moves. When God moves, he moves. And I've told people lots of times that, you know what we need to do is to is essentially to ask God to shock a situation that doesn't seem to want to move. Doctors have developed, and we have the machinery here in the church to be able to defibrillate somebody. And if they're not moving and the heart's not working, we can apply the current, and we can get a reaction. We can get that thing rolling. And that's a good thing. And sometimes we live in a vicious circle. We live on a treadmill. And it seems like, and it can become very distressing because it seems like nothing we're doing is changing the situation. Nothing we're doing is working to make things better and different. Nothing is working to help us to save more. It just seems like it's an endless circuit of frustrating events and frustrating energy. Sometimes you need to ask God and pray and say, Lord, shock my situation and bring positive change to it and help me see how you would handle this situation. Listen, because God's never stumped by our situation. God's always got an answer. Do you believe that? God's always got a way. So it's a very important for us to understand. Now, let me just a couple of more minutes, just 5 more minutes. Now, Brother Bram said there's no more gospel that America will receive. He said they just got their own hard-headed ideas and they're set. And people do get set in their ways. And the next things for this nation is judgment. She's going to have it too. And it may be through depression, great like the Great Depression. It may be through warfare. It may be through a great plague or a disease. Think about it. But she's ready. It's coming. I was listening today, and I don't know why, but this just happened to be on. I was coming down the road. And they say that in the time of COVID, if you did a Google search on COVID and the effects of COVID, you would get 500,000 responses. And if you went a step further and you researched depression or anxiety in the time of COVID, it would be double the number of results, over 1,000,000. In other words, lots of people who sat around and didn't have much to do because they were not able to go out and do the things they normally do were consumed with this idea that, you know what? This has got negative consequences to it, and they wanted to find out everything they could when the people who were supposed to know didn't really know. Everyone's kind of discovering and stumbling their way through that time. But what it showed was that there was an enormous amount of anxiety that went with that. I'd like to say this. I don't think that anxiety went anywhere. I think that anxiety is still around. I think there was a spirit that came with that. And I think that that's still around. And it affected a lot of people because a lot of people thought, well, am I going to make it? What if I get sick? I don't feel really good. I'm looking up on the internet. I got those symptoms here. I must be this and I must be that. And a lot of times, very quickly, now I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about people who, you know, their only hope is in what they can find out and what they know. Aren't you glad you got a higher resource than just Google? Aren't you glad you got someone you can turn to in a time of need? And we did. And I was very thankful for that during those dark days. But Brother Branham is saying that, you know, these are the kinds of things that are prescribed to come, and he says people will fall during that time. I'm really glad that we have a token. And a token is a representation of a fact or requirement. It is a voucher that can be exchanged like a plane ticket. It's not just a convincing argument, you know, saying to the gate agent, let me on the plane, but you got a ticket, and that ticket's been paid for. The price has been paid, and I got it in my hand here. And I'm the person whose name is on that ticket, and I have a place on that plane. And it's a very sure thing. And this is the way the Bible describes it here. It is a distinguishing mark. It's a banner. It's a proof of something. And that's what Rahab said to the messenger. She said, give me a real token. Don't give me something that is just a hope or maybe I wonder if it'll be okay. Don't give me that. Give me something real that's going to see me through that difficult time. Give me something that's going to last through the storm. Give me something that's going to stand when all of Jericho will fall flat. I know what your God can do. I know the kinds of power that he has. I've seen and heard the testimonies of what your God is able to do. Give me something that will stand. Give me something he will honor during that time. And I believe that should be our passion. We should be saying the same thing to God, because here comes a prophet in the last day and says what you need to have is a token, because that's what God is looking for, right? That's what God is looking for. And I think we should have the same passion in asking God for the thing that is real and to make it real in your heart and make it real in your life. I think that's really important.
Amen.
God said to David, "Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. And my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." That's what David said. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Apple doesn't guide me. Microsoft doesn't guide me here, but thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And my friends are not the ones I'm going to rely on. My associates, and not what everybody else is doing. That's not what's going to guide me. But thou shalt guide me. Thy presence shall guide me. And afterwards, you'll receive me to glory. I know that if you're leading me, and if I know that if I follow you, and if I know that if I surrender myself to you, you know the way, and you're going to take me all the way to glory. Whom have I in heaven? There is none on the earth besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. And we all know what that feels like when we feel like we have no more resources that we can throw at a problem here. My flesh and my heart failed. I've done everything I know to do. I've given all the money I have to this thing. I've given my concentration to it. I've given my energy to it. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And the best thing to do is to take the problems that you have and give them to God. And in saying that, I'd like to give you some of the prayer requests that I have here tonight, so that we can take a moment just to pray about them. It's amazing when we submit this to, when I submit this to you people, it's amazing the needs that are there. So I'd like, if you don't mind, just stay with me here as I give you these requests here and there's things that you can remember even beyond tonight. Sister Cindy Walters has a sister, Kathy, who has cancer. She's undergoing treatment, and we sure want to remember her in prayer. Really, Yashua is here tonight. Yashua and Sarah, they have an unspoken request. I have two serious unspoken requests that relate to Mary. And I have another unspoken request that is serious that relates to decisions that need to be made. And I'm not at liberty to give you the details of those, but if you can remember that. Sister Amber today wrote me an interesting note. And I'm not going to read the note, Sister Amber, but I would just say this, that when you make a stand for Christ and when you make a stand for what's right, and she made a spiritual request today, you should expect a battle. She knows where she's supposed to be, but Satan's trying to move her off that foundation. And I'd say to you, Sister Amber, hold your ground, because God knows exactly where you're supposed to be. And don't fear what people will say. Don't fear what people will do. Very often, it's just the enemy trying to antagonize you. Sister Nadia Britton asked me tonight just to mention her name, and obviously going through a difficult season, and we sure want to hold her up in prayer. Sister Leah also submitted a request for, in her school, there's a young boy named Nahum. And he was in an accident, had a brain injury, and now he's in the hospital in a lot of pain. And because he can't speak now, they have no idea what's wrong. And they're trying to test and assess the situation. And that's ongoing as we speak, right? That's current. So we sure want to remember this young boy. How old would Nahum be, roughly? Young man? What? Say it again. 10? He's 10 years old? Wow. Let's remember him in prayer. Brother Keith Buchanan's not here tonight. He was planning to be here, but he's just having problems again with fluid. And I want to add this little part here as well, that Brother Keith is in a situation where you know, he's making some important decisions, and it's very difficult for them financially and all the different things that they're wrestling with because of the ongoing situation. And in a sense, Brother Keith's biggest problem is that he's healthy, or he's feeling better. Yeah. And the better he feels, the less of a candidate he is for a transplant. But if he feels worse, I mean, it's feeling worse, and it's very difficult. And we sure want to hold up Brother Keith and Sister Sarah for sure. Brother Brian McCall, I was talking to him today, and he's going through a situation with his work, and he's got some choices that he's wanting to make. He's just really seeking the leadership of the Lord about that and to be able to do what he knows is best for his family. Sister Carrie Whitlock is not here tonight. She is going through problems again with the vertigo and the different things that are related to her balance and so forth. She has to see a doctor coming up next week, and we sure want to hold her up in prayer. Sister Megan Buchanan gave me a request here. One is for her grandfather. He's in his 80s, right? And he's got multiple serious health issues. He's in the hands of hospice, and we sure want to remember him in prayer. He lives up in Maryland. And the second thing that they're praying for is to begin to have a family. And that's a good request. And I will tell you this, that God honors that kind of request. So we want to hold that up before the Lord in prayer. Sister Karen put in a request here today for her father, Brother Wayne. Wayne Coffey has practically lost all of his hearing. He's also having to have a biopsy taken. But the doctors are looking at something, and they're having to take a biopsy, so we sure want to remember Brother Wayne. Brother Wayne was an elder in this church. He was a song leader in this church. He's the one who invited me to come to this church. And so we want to remember Brother Wayne for sure. We want to remember also Sister Rachel Pritchard. And Sister Rachel is still having a really difficult time with her back, spasms in her back. She's under care of a chiropractor and also saw a neurosurgeon. And a neurosurgeon, any neurosurgeon will tell you, you're the last person you want. I'm the last person you want to come to. And she said to her that she should continue to rest and really take time to rest, bed rest, and see if they can improve the situation there with the inflammation. And she's in a lot of pain. It's very difficult for them to drive, very difficult for her to be mobile. And whenever you have a back or a shoulder problem, let me tell you, getting in and out of a car sometimes is one of the hardest things that you'll do. So we want to remember Sister Rachel Pritchard. I'm going to take Sister Tina Knobloch and move her up a level onto the serious level. And I'm going to ask you, without going into details, I'm going to ask you to really hold her up in prayer and just trust that the Lord will undertake for her. And been in contact with them over the last weeks, and she's still not able to work. She's not able to drive. She's still seeing double, and they're probing a little bit deeper to try to find out what the cause of the problem is. And I assured them today that, we are not meant, God did not intend for somebody who's a part of a body to go through things by themselves, because we are a part of a body. And when we hear about a need, especially a need that I'm telling you is serious, we should take that to heart as if it was one of our own family. Amen. And really remember that consistently and bring it before the Lord. I think that's a very important thing for us to remember. We also want to remember Sister Becky, and she's not here tonight, just unable to be with us tonight for service, but she's in a time of decision as well, and so we just want to pray that the Lord will give her a peace and a direction, and her and I are working together to try to make the very best decisions in the situation that we find ourselves. Also, we have our young people's meeting this weekend, and I would just say this, that, in thinking about this meeting months ago, I thought it would be really nice for us not to have to just have another young people's meeting, but rather just to kind of push everything aside and just say, Lord, you take control of this, and you speak to the hearts of the young people. We don't want to be bound by having to do this or this, because that's what everybody does. I would rather that we just gave the Holy Spirit the whole thing and just said, Lord, come and do the work that you can do and just speak to hearts, make it personal, make it real, and touch hearts. And I know that God can do that, and I know God wants to do that. On a positive note, we want to remember John and Jennifer Cockman. They're in Washington this week, and they're being honored as a select group of adoptive parents, foster parents, and Senator Tom Tillis is going to be introducing them tomorrow, and Brother John's going to speak a little bit about their experiences as foster parents, and it's a high honor, so we're thankful for them. And I wrote them today, and I told them, I said, we're sure proud of you and what you're doing, and just trust that the Lord will continue to bless them and lead them and guide them, because that's a real challenge to do what they're doing. Again, I've got several different places here. I have unspoken requests here. Why don't we stand to our feet tonight? Matt, if you would come. If you other musicians would like to slip up here, you can, but I just wanted to have a little background here. So if you can, just clear your lap, and I just want you to take a few moments here. Brother Wellington, I wonder, would you start us off in a word of prayer? Why don't you come on up here, and we're going to have you to pray. And let's sing that little chorus, Have Your Way. And if you could play, Matt, while we're just praying here. So just in the last few minutes of our service, I just wanted you to just kind of lock out everything. We'll go in a minute, but just lock things out and push it aside and just say, Lord, I got something I'd like to add. I didn't tell Brother Barry, but I got something that I would like to give. You know what? That speaks just as loud to him as if you wrote it down and gave it to me. So don't worry about the fact that I may not have said it here. You hold it on your heart and give it to God, whatever it is. Because God wants to, he wants to work on your behalf, and he wants to bless you, wants to do good things on your behalf. David said, who have I in heaven besides me? Where else can I go? Who else can I turn to? Thank you, Jesus. Yes, have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way. One more time, it sounds so nice, so sweet. Sing it again out from your heart. Yes, have your way. Oh, have your way. Holy Spirit, feel.
Where you have chosen to put your holy name, Lord. and instructed us through the word, Father, that when we come to that place, Lord, that you have put your name, any petition that will live there, Lord God Almighty, you show mercy and grace. We come as we are, dear Heavenly Father, confessing our faults, confessing our sins, knowing how unworthy we are, oh Father. But we remember, Lord God Almighty, there is a token that was given for us, Father. And Lord, you are a God that changes not. You said when you see the blood, when you see that token, you'll pass over, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, when you pass over, Lord, Father God, we know, Lord, you give us grace and mercy, Lord God Almighty. Your children have come into this place, dear Heavenly Father, with the different situations and circumstances, dear Heavenly Father, with the petitions and requests, Lord God Almighty, because we know you are a Jehovah God who answers prayer, Father. We have the list here, Lord God Almighty, that has been announced before you, Father. Lord God Almighty, not that we know them, Father, but that we commit them into your holy sacred hands, dear Heavenly Father. Knowing, Lord God Almighty, that there's no situation that will overwhelm you, Father. We might be as overwhelmed as human beings, but Lord, when we leave everything at Jesus' feet, we know our burdens are lifted up, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that, Lord, Father God, you give us the breakthrough in each and every situation, Lord God Almighty. You called us to victory, Lord. You called us, dear Heavenly Father God, to blessings, dear Heavenly Father. You called us to possess the enemy's gates, dear Heavenly Father. And we know that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We push back the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every spirit of doubt, any spirit that's contrary to your will, we bind in the name of Jesus Christ. We lift our faith unto you, dear Heavenly Father. We lift our faith unto you, Jehovah God. Our trust is in thee, not in our mighty, because we got none, Father. Our trust is in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because we got none, dear Heavenly Father. We've got those that are sick, Lord, Father God, in the flesh. Afflicted, Father God, in the flesh, knowing, Father God, Lord, as we raise and lift up Isaiah 53, Father, that by your stripes we are healed, dear Heavenly Father. We are the word, Lord, Father God. We want to go walk, Father God, in the newness of life, Lord, in good health, Father. There are some, Lord God Almighty, of your children, Lord, Father God, who are facing situations that they need to make decisions, Father. And they have expressed, Lord God Almighty, that they want decisions that are according to your will, dear Heavenly Father. We don't pray, Lord God Almighty, for our own things, dear Heavenly Father, but we pray according to your will, dear Heavenly Father. May you intervene, Lord, in every situation, Lord Father. May your children, Lord God Almighty, walk out of this house, Lord, with their burdens all lifted up, Lord. We want to go out, Lord, Father God, with a song and a smile, rejoicing and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know, Father, that when we pray, dear Heavenly Father, you will answer, dear Heavenly Father. When we call upon you, Father, you will answer us. When we knock, you will open. You've never let us down. You've never let your bride down. You've never let your children down, dear Lord God Almighty. Now we live in this request, Father God, into your holy hands, Lord God Almighty. We thank you, Father. We glorify you. We love you, Father. We thank you for our pastor who you gave this inspiration to have this prayer meeting this evening, Lord God Almighty, knowing that, Father God, everything now is settled in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord God Almighty. With us, Lord God Almighty, as we go back home, Father, the anointing of prayer, let it continue with us, Father. We continue with this prayer request, dear Heavenly Father God, in our secret closets, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for the weekend that's before us with the meetings, Lord, like the pastor expressed, dear Father God, that, Lord, we just don't want it to be a repetition of the meetings, Father, but we want you to have your way in our midst, dear Heavenly Father. We want you to have your way in our youth, dear Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord God Almighty. For those that could not make it to service, Lord, wherever they are, maybe they are streaming, may you give them a mighty touch, Lord God Almighty. Be with them, Lord God Almighty. We pray, Father God, committing everything into your sacred holy hands. We love you, Father. We appreciate you, Father. We glorify our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Pray, Lord, for Brother John Harwell, who's not here tonight. We think, Lord, also of Sister Angie. And, Lord, in her time of mourning, I just commit her to you and pray in Jesus' name that you would minister strength and peace to her. And there are so many others, Lord, and many others that would desire to be here, those that are listening. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would be the God, and only you can do this, Lord. You can pass through this place and touch every heart individually. And Lord, you can give us a peace that passes understanding because you are the Prince of Peace. You can be our banner. You can be our supply. You can be everything to us, Lord. And you can do it individually and make the word apply to everyone's situation. How thankful we are for that, Lord. And I pray now that you would move among us. Lord, may you protect the members of this assembly. We think of all of our young people and the challenges they face in these unique and strange times. Lord, as it was in the days of Noah when there was no talk of God and no thought of God. And here we are, as your apostle Paul described, Lord, living in perilous times, dangerous times. Lord, I pray you'd protect the minds of our young people. And Lord, they would never let that passion be taken from them. They'd never let that zeal for God be taken from them. That enthusiasm and that joy, Lord, may it be our portion as the days pass by. Because, Lord, we are instructed to stay behind the word. You know the way. You know the pathway. And I pray that you would lead us and guide us. Heavenly Father, we commit every one of these needs to you tonight. I lay my hands on these requests, Lord. And I know, dear God, that you care about each person. I know you care about all we suffer with and all we go through. Console us, I pray, with your nearness. And, Lord, attend to our cry. Forgive us, Lord, of anything that may in any way hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit. But come by our way, Lord, and speak to us and minister to our hearts. how we love you and how we thank you. Heal those, Lord, that suffer with depression and all the different things, Lord, that would hold us back. Father, we place ourselves in your hands. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name and for your glory.
Speak the name of Jesus.
within your presence, I speak Jesus. Now I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. There is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
The power of your love. Let's sing it tonight. We're going to let you go. If you want to linger a little bit and worship, you're certainly welcome to do that. I appreciate you coming tonight. I appreciate you helping to create this atmosphere in this place. May this atmosphere remain until the weekend. And we just pray the Holy Spirit would just reach down and take control of that meeting for His glory. For all you young people, people that are in Brother Peter's class, I have the adoption book. We'll give those out after service here tonight, so you're welcome to take that. Sing it together now as you go.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed.
I'll rise up like thee. Touching Jesus is all that.